What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Wow, welcome. This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Shireen.
Hi.
We have a great show for you guys today. We are joined by another Next Up fellow. That's mm-hmm. right. Their shows are popping out, baby, here at iHeart.
They were chosen for a reason, you know?
Yeah, they were chosen for a reason. This fellow, they have a show called Partition coming out about the 1947 partition of Pakistan and India. It's literally mm-hmm. called Partition, so don't act like you don't know what it is, okay? We are joined today by Neha Aziz. We're going to talk to her about her upbringing in Texas, kind of coming to appreciate her culture, what it's like to go to college. It's a real ride, you guys. And literally, we're going to talk about why you need to know about Partition. So stay tuned. It's a great episode, and we hope you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Shireen, how are you doing?
I'm okay, yeah. It's one of those days where, like, I didn't get as much sleep as I usually do, but for uh-huh. whatever reason, you're more, like, activated for some reason. That happens to me all the time. Like, there are days where I get little sleep, but then I wake up and I'm, like, fluttering around versus the alternative where I'm tired all day. So it's one of those days. Probably had too much caffeine, but I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I live off caffeine.
Yeah, you were saying that.
I go from coffee to green tea to oolong tea. Actually, I drink one cup of coffee and then I move to mostly like black and green tea to keep me going throughout the day. And you know what? Sometimes I sprinkle in some matcha because there's so much to do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep my work in a sort of 9-to-5 situation. I'm failing miserably. I'm literally always sending emails at like 9 p.m. Or I'll like text Trisha and Becca at like 11 p.m. like, hey, getting back to your text. And they're like, whoa. Okay.
And they're like, we're asleep.
Yeah. They're like, we don't work on the same coast as you. And I'm a little all over the place.
Yeah.
And I always feel like I'm like getting like packages because I don't like leave my house. And I'm always like breaking down boxes. I just feel like so much of my day, I'm like doing multiple things, like reading an email and like breaking down a box. I just feel like that is my life right now.
That is very funny.
I'm trying not to catch COVID because I'm leaving for vacation soon.
Yeah, same.
Or I'm going on a trip for work and then also vacation. It's like a whole thing. Yeah. I'm just trying to like be cool. It's not working. I'm losing my mind.
You're trying to be cool just like COVID-wise, like trying not to stress out?
I'm trying to be cool on multi-levels. it's not working because I've never had same. A cool bone in my body.
I can relate. I'm also traveling and I'm going internationally for the first time since the pandemic. So I don't know.
Som.
Oh, yeah.
Girl, som.
Oh, my God. Look at us. But I don't know. I really get mad at people that are just like operating per usual. I mean, I have plenty of friends that are doing that too. They're just like at bars and they don't have masks on anymore. And it really bothers me because I don't know. It's not like it's gone. It just bothers me because I got COVID a couple months ago for the first time. I was so proud of myself for like going 2 years straight. And I got it in the stupidest way, being in a car with one person. And then remember when we were at Fran and Matt's wedding, people were saying that like Fran was telling me that her friend got it and literally 2 weeks later she got it again. Like it was like very short. So it's like not as like you're not immune. And I had that feeling that I was like, I'm good for a while. It's like, no, you're a moron. Just keep wearing your mask and stop seeing anybody.
Still to this day, never gotten it and or never felt a symptom if I have. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, I think that's incredible. I'm the only one in my family that's gotten it, and I have a sister who's a doctor. So, and I got it by picking up someone from the airport. So that's just a lesson to never go to LAX again, which I knew, but I was trying to be a good friend. Anyway, we've been talking for way too long, and we have a guest standing by, just like listening to useless stuff that we're talking about. So, without further ado, let's bring in our guest, Anna. Do you want to do the pleasure of introducing her?
Yes, we have another next up fellow in the house, as Woo! The older folks say. Young people don't say that anymore. So please welcome one of our next up fellows who has a great show out now. It will be out by the time this airs, don't worry, called Partition, which is all about the 1947 partition of India and Pakistan. Maybe you heard of it, probably not, because American history books don't teach it. What can you do? So please welcome Neha Aziz.
Hi, how's it going?
Welcome.
Thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I was telling y'all this off mic, but I've been having a really nice time meeting all of Anna's like fellows, I guess you can, right? That's not what they're called? Yeah. Because each one of y'all has like a very distinct point of view, and I could tell why you were chosen. And every fucking idea for these podcasts are like so interesting, especially like yours, especially like just elaborating on history that we don't know about. I don't know. I'm excited to get to know you.
Mm, that's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely chose them for a reason. And that reason is I was like, cha-ching, these people are going to bring me the money. Just joking. Could you imagine?
I'm like, I think you kind of overestimated then, if that's that was your end goal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could see how I went wrong there. Also, what money am I going to get? You know, it's like, there's no
real... wealth of knowledge, a wealth of fortune.
I know, but I mean,
fortune.
Like, there's no, like... Yeah. It's not like, where would... What money am I... like, what's the money I'm even talking about? Like, there's no direct line to me in any circumstance where I'm making money. The company would make money.
Yeah.
You will make money, Neha, which is good.
Here's hoping.
Okay. Before we jump into the podcast any more than we already have, which is nothing, but I want to talk about your life and just who you are as a person. So do you want to just start from the beginning and like tell us where you were born and where you were raised?
Yeah. So I was born in Karachi, Pakistan in 1990. And I came to the U.S. when I was a couple of months old. We first lived in California because I had some relatives there. And then when I was 4, we moved to Texas. I grew up in Arlington, Texas, which is home to the Cowboys and Rangers, teams my dad has a love-hate relationship with. And I moved to Austin in 2009 to go to school at UT Austin. And I have been there ever since.
Wow. Cool. Yeah, that's a lot of jumping around. So do you consider Austin, like, what do you consider anywhere your home base? Like, I know you floated around a bunch, so you could say no, but do you consider anything?
I would say Austin because, mm-hmm. you know, I moved there when I was 19. Like, I went to a community college for a year and then transferred. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, kind of where I grew up. And yeah. I guess it's been almost like half and half because I've been in Austin for 13 years and I'm turning 32 in a couple of days. Oh. So it's been like almost half.
Oh my
yeah.
God, happy early birthday. Thank That's you. Exciting. Yeah. You're Cancer.
I'm a Leo.
Wait, did it just change? I'm behind.
No, it could have, but I don't think it affected me.
Oh, copy. Never mind. moving on. Why did your parents decide to move?
I think they just wanted opportunities for me and my sister. I have an older sister who's 4 years older. And, you know, at the time, like the early 90s, there really wasn't that many opportunities for women. And that's certainly changed. But I think they wanted a better life for us and then also just a better life for themselves also. And, you know, it's also interesting because, like, you know, like I'm an immigrant, my parents are immigrants, and so many of my friends, like, they don't have that. It's like their parents met here and they're like doctors and engineers, and like my parents aren't like that at all. My mom works at a bank. My dad is like a territory manager for like a gas company. So they have different jobs than a lot of my other friends do. So like I felt like our struggles were just so much rooted in like kind of like this like American dream ideal. Yeah. But, you know, right now they're just kind of getting into their comfortable stages in life, which is kind of sad because they're in their early 60s. So they're almost like at retirement age. But it really wasn't, I think, until like maybe like 10 years ago where they were like, we can breathe, we can take it easy kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm. They don't have to hustle forever.
But my mom, I will say, on her days off, still does dumb stuff like clean the garage and like organize the freezer. So there's
immigrant mother.
Mom energy.
That's like all my mom does. She does not need to do that. She'll be like, I'm going to just do this all day. And you're like, that's what brings you joy?
My mom will hire someone to clean the house, but she'll clean before them because
my mom does that too. I think they have someone come like once a month because it's only me and my sister's rooms that are upstairs. So no one, because we don't live here, so no one comes up here. So like I think like once a month, like someone comes over. But yeah, no, my mom does that. And one time during like early COVID, she made me clean out boxes in my room via FaceTime, like magazines and like.
That is so
dumb
funny.
Stuff. I was just
my
like,
mom did the same thing to my sister. That is so funny.
I am just like, she's like, do you want this paper? And I'm like, yeah. Like, it's about like the sounds in Psycho. I want to keep that. Don't throw it away. Like, just like really, it was just, I was just like, wow, a new facet of brownness just occurred. So
we love our brown moms. We love them.
Yeah, my mom's always like, there's 15 boxes with your name on it in the garage, and you need to go take and look through them. And I'm like, no. That sounds like 15 boxes full of spiders. No.
Yeah.
I'm always like,
yeah,
I
and also
will.
My room is next to the attic.
Oh yeah.
So no.
Yeah.
No. My room's been for all purposes. I mean, it's still kind of my room, like all the same furniture is there, but it's lost a lot of its color and joy and now is mostly just a guest room.
Right. Yeah. Yep. That's how it goes. I mean, did your parents like the time when they started relaxing like coincide with you like being a quote unquote like an adult and like not being like I don't know, not like a huge like we have to take care of this person all the time. Does that make sense?
I mean, so my mom actually calls me every single day at 10 p.m. because she's just, I mean,
adorable.
I love her, but also like, okay. Like I live in Austin, like, and then I tell her this because I'm like, you actually won't know if I'm home because we don't live in the same place. But I think it just oddly gives her like a peace of mind. But I think they still kind of treat me like a kid, but I'm also the youngest. You know, my sister's married and has children and I'm just kind of chilling. So I think
how many years?
Also that. There's 4 years between me and my sister. I think it was like I was at college. I was at UT. You know, my sister, I think, was in law school at the time. And I think like kind of 2010, 2011, when they were able to buy like a house in their own name. Because before we were always like, I lived in apartments. Like it really wasn't until I think recently they've had like a little bit more space. But I think it's like, okay, I'm in college. My sister's in law school. It's like we've gotten these opportunities to make more money, and they're kind of within like our religious community. Like my mom works at a bank, specifically mostly. I mean, it's not like for South Asians, but it's like
South Asian community.
Yes, exactly. And it's kind of same for my dad. So I think they kind of found like, yes, it's a job, but they also have people who are like their age who have like who they can also like confide in. And also like this area that they moved into, which is Grapevine, which is outside of Dallas. A lot of my relatives live here. So they have like also another community, because we were also kind of separated when we were in Arlington. There's not a lot of brown people there, so, or at least South Asians. There's not a lot of South Asians there. And here, like, they have a strong sense of community. And I do think that really helps them when, like, you know, their kids aren't there.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, I'm curious. How far is Arlington from where they moved now?
It's probably like 25 or 30 minutes.
Oh, so it's close.
I'm literally on Google Maps, like looking at
this. I think, yeah.
You fucking creep.
I think it's around like 25 minutes. Okay, I'm kidding. And Arlington's actually a pretty big city, because that's like where Six Flags and all that kind of stuff is. And I think it might be the biggest city without public transportation.
Oh. So it's like literally halfway between Fort Worth and Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay.
Like, I feel like each way, like Fort Worth, Dallas, Arlington is like 30 minutes from where I am.
Got it. I had family friends who lived in Allen, Texas, which is outside of Dallas.
Okay, yeah. So I think that's also like a 30, 40 minute drive.
I'm just curious. Also, I'll be in Dallas at the end of August. We should talk.
Oh, that's fun.
With Joelle, so let's talk.
Okay, well, I'm not invited to that, so let's move on. y'all can talk later. But, I mean, you see that happen all the time with immigrant communities. Like, they usually like will try to move to a place that has like a lot of their community there. Like that, my dad did that in Orange County. Like, he landed in California, the weather reminded him of Syria, and there were so many people that were Arab there. Mm-hmm. So that's like, it just, it helps you transition into this strange new world. So were you growing up with a lot of community around you, or was it more like later in life?
No, not so much, because like we would have like things, like we would go to like our like I would go to like religious classes, and like we would go to like our like religious community stuff. But that was only like 1 or 2 days a week. And then like the rest I was in Arlington. So it was kind of like very like separated and not like integrated. And then
well, that's my question. So like, what was it like being Pakistani in Texas?
Well, you know, I actually do like kind of mention like a little bit in like the first episode, is just like, you know, for a long time I like shied away from like where I came from and like religion. Like, my parents would be at Best Buy and like speaking super loudly in Urdu, and I'm like, I'm gonna go away. I don't want to like be a part of this. And and you know, I think a lot of that is, you know, a little bit of growing up in the South, a little bit of being 11 when September 11th happened, and kind of having like a stark change with the way I was treated sometimes. And then also just like, you know, like society teaches you, if you're not like like a certain type, that it's just like you just kind of stick out. And, you know, and I went to a school, I think, that didn't really have that much diversity. I think it kind of changed in high school, but like elementary school, junior high, like it wasn't too diverse. And I feel like I shied away a lot. And then it really wasn't until I was in college where I kind of found like more of like my community. And like, you know, I was in a South Asian sorority at UT, and then like, and I did other stuff. Like, I like wrote for the college newspaper. And I think it was like really there where you kind of find like, actually, no, like my, like where I come from and my culture, like those things are important and they're great. And, they're things I want to know more about and value. So yeah, I think around when I was like 19, like things started to change. And then also I felt like I didn't really connect with other South Asians my age. I don't know. I think maybe we just had different priorities, or they, you know, like I also don't look like them. Like, you know, I am like definitely curvier, bigger. And, you know, if you didn't kind of fit in the like the size 2 skinny mold, I felt you were just kind of like thrown to the side. And maybe that's not true, but that's just kind of how I felt. So then I felt like I didn't really have a connection with a lot of the girls I grew up with in that side.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Growing up, my sisters and I did not relate to the community around us. Like, not so much. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I think you're right about different priorities. I think you're right about like just like the clickiness or the kind of community that kind of forms when a bunch of like brown girls are around with their parents, like, yes, always there or, like, whatever. There's always, yeah, this, like, exterior facade. And, mm-hmm, but yeah, I didn't realize until I was, like, in college how weird it was. Like, I was almost ashamed that I didn't have, like, close Arab friends, because I was like, why not? Like, I would love, yeah, to talk to someone in Arabic, but, like, yeah, like, why can't I connect? Not that I want my priorities to be their priorities. I don't want to fucking get married, XYZ, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to think about, like, why certain cultural things turn some children off. And, like,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and usually, like, make them go in the opposite direction, like, hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think it's a tale as old as time to be a child of immigrants or an immigrant yourself and to feel othered in this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, it's like we probably have 5,000 episodes of this podcast of us being like, it ain't right. But, like, yeah, I think it's also, in my opinion, probably one of the most normal feelings in the world. Like, mm-hmm, of just, like, feeling like, one, you don't fit in. And then two, like, there's just, like, there's no representation. There's no, like, nothing. Like, it's so much of, like, and especially, like, we were all born in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
What were we looking at growing up that was, like, Miss Marvel? You know, like, it's, like, Miss Marvel. Yeah. Stuff like that where even, like, look, you know, and Miss Marvel has its issues, but, like, still, like, you're, like, I don't see shit. And so, yeah, I don't even know how to get people to relate to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know how to be, like, well, you know, like, when I was growing up, people would be, like, what's Iran? Or they wouldn't say Iran. They'd, yeah, say Iran. Let's be real. They were not pronouncing it correctly. And I would be, like, there's no way to be, like, well, do you know that, you know, in fifth grade, do you know that CNN reporter, Christiane Amanpour? That's the only representation I have. But you're, what, 11? So you probably don't give a shit about Christiane Amanpour. So, yeah, what do I even have to tell you? Like, have you seen that one Alfred Molina movie, Not Without My Daughter? No, like, no, I'm, again, 10.
Oh my God, I have seen that movie. Oh, and he's not even my Persian. God.
Yeah. I mean, that's also a tale as old as time, right? Like, the slight representation in quotes we did have was egregious. But I think we definitely grew up in a much more isolating time than it is now, like, yeah, pre-internet being a thing you can look at and all, oh, those, yeah, things. I remember being like, people would say, I would say it was Siri, and they would be like, oh, cereal? Like, it was, like, the most, I felt like such an alien. And especially pre-9/11, you feel weird. Post-9/11, you felt even fucking weirder and, like, yeah, more hurt.
It's like going through puberty, and then, like, everything else just, yeah, sucks on top.
I remember this, I don't know, I always think about this white kid in elementary school. There was a Lebanese girl, and he said that she was a lesbian. Like, I think it's, like, a very common thing that white kids, like, mm-hmm, like, they hear that word, and they're like, lesbian? I can't believe, it's just, like, etched in my brain, being like, this is the most ignorant thing I've ever witnessed, and I have never forgot that, because, like, mm-hmm, I don't know. Anyway, I'm gonna start rambling and never stopping if I don't stop myself, so let's take our first break. BRB, don't go anywhere.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We are back with Neha Aziz. Ooh, Neha, I also have some, God, I have so much to talk to you about, Neha. Neha's like a soul sister of mine. Isn't that crazy? When I met you,
I can see it.
I was like, He has a soul sister. Because we had so many different experiences that were so similar. And I really like a lot of what you would say, I'd be like, I feel that. And I also, we bonded a lot over those stamp eyeliners.
Yes, I'm wearing them right now.
I know. They're so genius. Guys, if you're tired of trying to do a what are they called? A
cat eye?
Cat eye. Yes. But like just
I can't do that.
Is there another word for it? I don't know. You're right. Maybe it is just cat
like
eye.
Like a wing?
I think it's just cat eye.
Yeah, like a wing. Like if you can't do a perfect wing, here's the thing, girl. Get yourself a little stamp. You stamp that bad boy on and then you draw in the rest. It's the future.
Oh, that's what you do.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, I cannot do this. I actually only put makeup on because I'm like, they always take screenshots. So I was like, I'm going to put makeup on today.
I should have thought of that. I'm looking at myself right now, and I'm like, I look like a zombie.
I know. I never do it for our own thing. I always like am too busy like shoving toast in my mouth to be like, okay, well, how do I look good?
What's good?
Well, sometimes these Zooms are like the first time I'll see myself all day and I'm like, what? I don't think, I mean, we've talked about this probably before, but I just don't think it's good for humans to see themselves out there talking. You know what I mean? It really fucks you up because whatever. But no, I think like that's a huge part of this podcast. We're also just like, whatever, we like, you have so many experiences that are like in different places with a different culture. Like we all have different cultures and still we can all relate to each other. So yeah, I mean like, there's just, and then you can see how people had coped with it and like whatever, and we don't have to be so isolated like we were when we were kids, whatever. But again, look at me rambling, too much caffeine. Someone asked a question so I can shut up.
Okay, so you leave, you grew up in Arlington then technically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got him. So you leave Arlington, you come to Austin, and I know like, and I kind of want to start touching on your podcast a little, but like a part of your podcast that you talk about on the show, go listen to Partition Out now on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you find your podcast. One thing about, can you tell I've been indoctrinated? But one thing you mentioned in your show in the first episode is that it took you a long time to really start to kind of appreciate your culture. So like, where was that turn? Because you say it happened kind of in college. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about that, how that happened.
Yeah, so I mean, UT is a really huge university. Mm-hmm. It's a huge university, like in terms of space, but also just like the amount of students. I feel like, I mean, this could be wrong, so don't quote me on it, but I think they have like 50,000 undergrads. Like, it's a very large
school. Google it. Fact check. I'm kidding.
It's a very large school, and and you know, I saw people that, you know, looked like me, and not just like me, but I was like, oh, good, like other Asians, like there's people who are indigenous, there's people who are Latinx, just like a bunch of different communities. And they have so many different like clubs and organizations because really, I mean, maybe this is, I don't know if this is the case for everywhere, but at UT, like to start an organization, you needed $10 and three people. So there was just like so many different things you could join. And I had some, because I went to a community college, I had friends who I knew that were already at UT. And, you know, like, you know, I talked to them and like one of them was in South Asian sorority and my sister was also in a sorority at UT. And so I also kind of grew up going to Austin, not grew up going to Austin, but in high school going to Austin at times because my sister went to school there as well. And so I kind of got like a taste for this city when I was in high school. And I think it's like, oh, okay, so like there's people who are like me, but we're all different. Yeah, you know, I was like, oh, this person is studying art, like this person is studying engineering and like whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of nice to be like, oh, it's just, you know, not the like the stereotype you always see of just like super studious, super whatever. Mm-hmm. Like there's just like different parts. And it was just really nice to kind of relax. And it was also like a community college feels like a high school, you know, and there wasn't like this like campus life, like buzziness and like vibe. And so like when I went there, it was just like, you know, people everywhere, people giving you flyers. It was like, you know, just like a lot of new things happening at once. Because I was still living at home when I was in when I was at a community college, and so I was kind of like, I have like freedom, you know, like I can do whatever. And then I was like living in a dorm, and then I'm like, I can do whatever I want. And then you know, and then just kind of like those experiences. And I think like since then, it's, you also start to notice, and I studied journalism with like a minor in film at UT, and then I went back to get my film degree. There's not that many women and just women of color in the still now in the journalism field. So then I think that's something that I paid more attention to, just because I'm like, oh, like here's like my group here. But then like when I go to classes, I'm like, no one else really looks like me here. So I think it was just kind of like exploring more history, just kind of being, just like talking, just knowing more people. Because like I said, when I was growing up, it was very segregated because a lot of people of our sect of Islam like live kind of in like these little suburbs. And so like they would see each other at school and I wouldn't see them. So like they kind of, so I just kind of saw them on Saturday, maybe Friday night if we went to like a religious service or something. So it was kind of nice to like integrate those things and just kind of, and like, you know, when you're in college, you just get more curious about everything, you know, you have that time to explore and just kind of be on your own and see what's going on. So I think that's kind of really what set it for me. And then also like we, like when I studied film and other parts, like I studied a lot of Asian cinema in this like one class, and that kind of really got me. I've always been into film, but I had never been exposed to more international cinema that wasn't, you know, like Bollywood or whatever. So it was kind of nice to, so I kind of, a lot of doors and I think just opportunities to learn new things like opened up for me in college.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's like the place to, I mean, is it stereotypical to be like, to find yourself? Because it feels like that, right? Isn't that what it is? I mean,
it's true. Yeah. You know, like, you know, my parents were pretty strict, like, growing up. Yeah. And, you know, like, I never went to sleepovers. I got permission one time, and I was, like, the first kid picked up the next day.
Wow. That's relatable as shit. We were not allowed to go anywhere.
No. And so it was, like, you know, I was, like, oh, I can actually, like, you know, like, when, like, white kids go to college, I'm just, like, how is this different? Like, when you grew up, because you can just do whatever. But it's, like, for me, I'm, like, oh, like, I can, like, it's, like, 9 p.m. and I'm outside. Or it's just, like, I can, like, eat whenever I want. Like, no one's telling me to, like, stop reading a book and turn off your light or whatever. So it was just, yeah, it was, like I said, like, a bunch of new things at once. Just kind of, like, leaving, like, a sheltered kind of life, and then just being exposed to so many different things, and especially at a university that's like that huge,
right?
Just, and in a city, because back then it was more like a, this is a college town, and now it's like, you know, like Elon Musk lives here and all these other assholes. So I'm just like, Joe Rogan, like all these people live here now, and it's like a 2-bedroom house costs like $1.4 million, and it's just changed a lot.
Thanks. No, thank you. No. I feel
it's still my home.
No, I think I'm not someone that thinks, unless you have like a very academic focus on like what you want to do, I don't think everyone needs to go to college, obviously. Like, I don't think I should have gone to college as far as like what I want to do, but I really do think I needed that to grow. You know what I mean? Like, I chose the furthest college from my parents' house because I needed to get the fuck out. And it was amazing. It was a college town, and I was biking everywhere. I was like you're saying, like, you're doing things for the first time, like, by yourself. And so I do think for certain sheltered, or just, like, depending on how you were raised, like, it is really beneficial to go somewhere. I do think I just could have moved instead of, like, spend so much money at college for degrees I don't use. But I do think there's something that money can't buy, I suppose, as cliche as that is.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
I do feel like it was good for me to go to college because I needed to learn to be a person. I needed to learn how to exist without, you know, my parents' watchful eye, or even just like learning to like show up. Mm-hmm. Like, just show up and, like, be present. Like, I feel like when you're young, it's easy to sort of coast a little because everyone will just be like, well, she's a kid, whatever. She's whatever. Yeah. She's this, she's that. But in college, all of a sudden, like, shit becomes real. It's like, oh, failing a class in high school compared to failing a class in college, That's like nuclear. Like, people will be like, bitch, we will put you on academic probation. We will kick your ass out of this goddamn college.
I was on academic probation my first semester at UT.
I had a moment, too. I had a moment where they were like, class? Girl, get your shit together. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it was just... Yeah, it was like I was pledging a sorority. I didn't really know how to manage my time. And like I said, like just so many new like things I just wasn't used to. And it was just like, yeah, it was real bad. But, you know, I'm doing fine now. So yeah. It's all good.
Yeah, but I think that's like that's where you go to be like it's like literally trial adult status where you're mm-hmm. like doing a trial run of like having to get your shit together. And you yes. learn very quickly that the world isn't going to take care of you. You got to fucking figure it out, which is why I enjoyed college, because I also like learned to I feel like I learned a lot how to be like socially in college. Like my dad always tells me I'm so socially aware. And I'm like, well, it's more like I just don't like say wild shit in front of other people like my dad does. And I'm like, well, like you're crazy.
Like you think before you speak.
Well, wow. That's his whole thing. He's always like, yeah. He tells everyone, he's like, Anna always knows what to say and what Ooh. Not to say. And I'm like, it's not that hard, you know, but I do feel like I learned a lot of that just having to like make friends and find my way through school and like create a friend group, because you really are just dropped into this world. And a mm-hmm. lot of people don't go to college with all their best friends, you know? Usually you're split up, and that's what happened to me. All my friends, we all dispersed to UCs. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I was by myself at this UC, and I was like, well, better fucking figure out how to make friends, you know? And so you learn a lot about, like, just the world and how people are. And then it transfers over when you travel to your home country and your dad is saying wild ass shit and you're not. And everyone thinks you're like the most polite, cool person ever. I have such a great reputation in Iran, guys. I can't even express how much my family thinks I'm so cool because of the comparison of how my dad acts versus That's me. So funny. They think I'm the most pleasant, like together, just polite, like aware person they've ever met. And it's just that I just don't say wild shit. I just sit there and like nod my head. Like I don't like attack people. I don't even like politically. It's like, this isn't my world. So I'm not going to tell you how to act. Like I'm going to be here for like a month and then I'm going to leave. And this is your life. And that's my life. I'm not going to be like, that's fucking stupid. Why would you do that? Like my dad does. So it's just like, I don't know. I just think that I learned a lot of that in college because I maybe in, if I was in high school and I was a little less mature, you know, like I might say something because I don't know what I'm doing. And I think that's the joy of what college can teach you outside of the whole academic aspect of it, whatever about that shit.
Yeah.
I don't care about academics.
Totally. Yeah. I have a slightly different opinion because I do think college babies you a little bit because like, I graduated, I still didn't know what the fuck to do with my taxes or like anything real that would like prepare you. It feels like you're not really given. So I just have a weary relationship with the concept of college, I think, because there's so much, I don't know, but I do think the social aspect, as you're saying, like is invaluable, especially for people like us, because we're finally like learning how to function without like a watchful eye. Like you don't have to live a double life anymore. You can like wear whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. Like that was so liberating for me to like be able to wear shorts, for example. Like that was not possible when I was in fucking San Diego, as silly as that is. But anyways, I do want to know, were you, so your sisters, you said, also joined a sorority, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did that inspire you? Like, did she have a good experience and that's why you wanted to? Or was it something, what motivated you to do that?
I think she did. Her sorority actually was not a South Asian sorority, but it kind of turned into one at UT, which is kind of funny because they were like just all South Asian. But if you like looked around the country, like that's not how it was. So I think it was just like a place like where I could meet a lot of people. I had, because again, I was coming in as a sophomore, but it was my first year. I had known people who had done it. And so there's people I had grown up with who were in sorority. So I just like asked them about it. Like you, like, and the rush is completely different. Like you're not like going from like house to house and it's like this big thing. It's literally like, here's an info session And then and like here are like some mixers, and like it's very chill. Pledging process is not chill, but like the actual rush process was. And I think it's just like I really liked the people I met, and like, and for me that's where I met like a lot of my close friends. So I'm actually in Dallas to look at clothes for my friend's wedding, and she was my little sister in the sorority. So that's where I met like my kind of like lifelong friends. You know, like high school I had friends, but I don't really keep up with them that much anymore. It's just mostly through social media. So, but I think it's just, I just like the people. I liked what I heard. It was the first, it was called Kappa Phi Gamma. It was the first South Asian sorority founded in the country. It was actually founded at UT. And so I think that also was like, oh, wow, like they're the first. And I, you know, shamefully really liked that. Like that shouldn't really matter. But I did like that fact. And I don't know. It just like, it felt like a good decision. And I think, you know, it obviously was the right one because I, again, like majority of my friends from college came from there. Right. Or if they weren't there, they were in like the Greek community and stuff. So
yeah.
I think it was just like, not like felt at peace, but I felt good, you know, like there wasn't, like you didn't have to like be on, like I was just like being myself, you know, and I felt very comfortable, I think would be the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but did not growing up with that, like not relating to other South Asian young people growing up, did that like motivate you to like, I don't know, like what was that like to finally be able to like, oh, I can be myself. There's a sense of default understanding here that I don't have to explain.
Right. Yeah. Cause like everyone was just so, I felt like growing up, it was just like, I mean, I don't want to say like everyone was kind of the same, but it just kind of felt like, you know, when you're in high school, like you're just like, you're just thinking about certain things. And that's just kind of like where your mind goes. And like here, it's like we're having all these different conversations. Like we're all studying different things. We're all like in different places. Like we all look different, even though we come from the same community. And so that was like really important to me. So it was like, you know, I was walking around and they just like hand flyers. I'm like, oh, I know someone who's in here. I talked to her. And then it was just like, I think this works. And like, again, that's like what you said, like you didn't really have many Arab friends when you went into college, and I didn't really have that many South Asian friends. And I think it's just like, I found the groove, I guess, like in college where I'm like, this feels right. This doesn't feel like I'm being othered in my own community type of thing.
Totally. A lot to marinate on during our second break. So BRB.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And we are back with Neha. Okay, Neha, let's talk about your podcast, Partition, which you started working on in the, next time, literally forgot the name of the program, the Next Step Initiative. I would love to hear just tell us about your show. Tell everyone about your show.
Yeah. So my show is called Partition. It is about the partition of India and the formation of Pakistan in 1947. So 2022 marks the 75th anniversary, and it's a part of history that you don't really hear about in the West, and I certainly did not hear about it growing up in Texas, where we have a different spin on what history means. And I in fact didn't find out about the true like terror and like harsh truths about partition until I went back to Pakistan for the first time when I was 27 at an exhibit at the mall. And I was just like, what? Like, what is this, you know? And I found that to be very common. Like, friends of mine who are South Asian, who are my age, like, their parents didn't tell them, like, their grandparents didn't tell them. Like, there's still a lot of, like, trauma there and a lot of things to unpack there, because 75 years isn't that long, relatively speaking. And basically, it's, you know, the British was just like, hey, man, like, we're out of money. Sorry, like, we can't, like, control you anymore. And so they were like, oh, we'll give you independence. But the transfer of power took place in such a way that it just, like, was massive chaos. And I'm sure, like, no matter what the solution was, there was going to be stuff that sucked. Like, that's just the way it is. But it was, you know, the biggest mass migration in history. Around 14 million people were uprooted from their homes. 1 to 2 million people died. It's thought that around 70,000 to 100,000, possibly more, women were raped and abducted during this time. Like, we don't, won't really ever know, like, the correct numbers, just because we don't really have that history easily available at our fingertips. They're just estimates. And like, when I found this out in 2017, that kind of was like kickstarted my interest in learning more about the history. And like, I asked my parents about it and like what they learned about it in school. And I've just kind of always been interested since then. And I was just like, you know, no one knows about this. And originally, like, I'm a writer, and I'm like, this would be a great miniseries. Like, there was like some documentary on the PBS, but, or not PBS, sorry, BBC, where I'm like, I haven't watched it. I feel like it probably has a bias. So I was like, I don't feel the need or feel compelled to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, this would be a great show. Like, maybe I can write it, like, you know, just for fun, basically. I'm not, like, fancy with, like, an agent or anything like that. But I'm like, where do I start? Like, there's just so much stuff. And this was this, I think, like, I've been thinking about it, I think, since the summer of 2020. And then just always, like, on the back burner. And then I saw the iHeart Next Up program, I think, on Instagram. And I was like, oh, this looks cool. Like, and I was like, you know, maybe a podcast would be a good way to get people to know about this, because you can have a conversation about it. You can make it digestible to people. You can really kind of break things down that you may not be able to in a show. Also, like, you know, it was a paid fellowship, which is nice. So I kind of got paid to kind of look at the research, which is also great. And like, I would still love to adapt it into a TV series, but I was just like, I think this might be a good way for people to know about this and to kind of get it to the masses. And it's just like, you know, I like read all these books and I have all these facts on like a Google Doc, because that's where I make my scripts. And it's just like, that's so much sad stuff in like 8 pages of things, you know? So, and the fact that a lot of people just don't know about it, I'm like, well, like, there's just so many things that people don't know about, because it's just things that aren't taught to us, and there isn't ways to easily get our hands on this information. Like, not many people are going to go to the library and check out a book about, I don't know, like, Japanese concentration camps. Some people might, but most people won't. And so you kind of have to not dumb it down, but kind of make like a partition for dummies or whatever. Just really,
yeah, like, it make it digestible.
Yes, like, you really have to like make, like, really just kind of like pare it down for people to understand. Yeah. And I was just like, I think this would be a good idea. And with the 75th anniversary coming up, it felt like the perfect opportunity. So I'm glad that I got the chance to do it.
Yes. And the 75th anniversary is August 15th?
Yes. So August, it happens at midnight. So Pakistan celebrates August 14th and India celebrates August 15th.
Got it. Mm-hmm. There is, I mean, if you guys know anything about partition, which I've learned more just from like listening to your show and, you know, engaging with certain content, but like, so fucked up. It's crazy what the destruction white people can do.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, bye. And then like,
yeah.
Mass ethnic cleansing. Like, so, what the fuck? Yeah. How does one thing lead to the other? Oh, white people.
Yep. Yeah. It's always white people.
It's devastating.
Yeah, no, it truly is.
But people should know.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was saying people should know about it.
Well, because this is a mini series and it's like a little snapshot of history, do you have ideas in your head about like what you want to, if there's anything else you want to like educate people on, or like do you have like an idea of where to take yourself from here? It's okay if you don't.
Yeah, I do actually. So a similar kind of partition happened when East Pakistan became Bangladesh in 1971. Mm. And, you know, it was a lot of violence, a lot of death, a lot of just really bad things. And, you know, it's very similar to partition. And it's another story that people don't really know about. Mm-hmm. And that would be the next story that I want to tell, because my mom, my grandma lives in Dhaka in Bangladesh, and so my mom has a history there, and she was 11 in 1971. Like, she grew up in Karachi, but, you know, obviously she has ties to Bangladesh, and we were just randomly talking about it one day. I think my dad was like out of town, so we were just like talking about random stuff for like 30 minutes, and she was telling me these stories, and, you know, and I mentioned the 1971 Liberation War a little bit, but I'm like, it's its own story that deserves like its own time and research, mm-hmm. and respect, and I don't want to do it a disservice by just kind of casually throwing it into partition when it deserves its own story. So I think that's the next story I would really like to tell in this on the audio platform. And it also just celebrated its 50 years in 2021. So again, that's not that long, relatively speaking. So
no, our parents were alive, you know.
Like I said, my mom was 11, so she was born in 1960.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, you make a good point that there is so much history that people don't know about. There's like probably endless topics we can focus on to educate people on, especially that fucking learned about history in this stupid country that is so biased, and like,
yes,
history textbooks, I swear to God, should just be all burned. But I do think, I mean, it's interesting that you landed on being a podcast, because that's kind of what happened with me and Anna with this show, is because we had a mini series idea, and then we realized like it's a lot easier and on us on like just getting information out there if it was a podcast. So I do think like an audio medium is the perfect place to start with this kind of thing, because it lets you form what you want to do, and it's also just like not as, you don't have to rely on as many people, you don't have to like really feel like an intense, like, I don't know, it's just different. Obviously it would be amazing to have a miniseries, but I do think a good starting point, especially in like the current industry is or whatever, I think podcast is like the right move. So
as HBO called us, we're just IP machines, baby. They're not wrong. That's the joy of podcasting, is you can use it as a way to pop off an idea or subject matter.
Yeah,
it is true.
Totally. I mean, you know, it's a thing when fucking every celebrity jumps on, right? It's like a whole thing. So I think like utilizing something that is accessible and people can like learn about history on like their drive to work or like on a road trip or whatever, or like cleaning up a house, or a house. I mean, both, whatever.
Or when you're on the treadmill trying to forget your pain and suffering.
And then you hear about other people's pain and suffering.
Makes being on the treadmill easier.
No, I think it's a great idea, and I can't wait for people to listen to it. It is out now, so go listen to Partition. And I mean, even that word, I don't think people know what it means. You know what I mean? There's just like, there's so many things that make this show so important. You know, it's a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, something that I talk about on the show is that we don't have any memorials. Like, you don't go to Pakistan, you don't go to India and see some kind of shrine or some kind of remembrance. Like, we don't have that. And so there isn't a place that people can go to kind of, like, reflect on something that happened. Or to, you can certainly visit places. I'll talk about in a later episode about how I visited the border. I went to Lahore in 2019, which is about 15 miles, I think, from India. And so when I was walking, there was just like this whole area fenced off. And I'm like, the other side is India. And I'm like, that's probably, at least for the foreseeable future, as close as I can get just because I'm a Pakistani. And so, you know, the border just causes a lot of issues, which is also something I talk about. But, you know, for things like the Holocaust and just other parts of history, like, people can go to a museum. People can watch a movie, countless movies about it, where if it's not even in the main subject, if it, like, there's so many, it may show up as like a side storyline in some other kind of movie if it's just about like war or something and they show about other people. But we don't have that, you know. Like, we don't have like you know, like a Steven Spielberg directed film, which I love him, but I really hope he doesn't make a film about partition, unless he has a South Asian by his side. But, you know, like, there's not this, like, oh, yeah, this is what this is, right? Like, this is the go-to thing to learn about partition. Like, I think the closest thing, very loosely, is the film Gandhi, directed by Richard Attenborough, which I'm like, well, he's a white British man, and the man who plays Gandhi, yes, is half Indian, but I mean, they definitely darkened his skin makeup.
He played in an Iranian once too, Ben Kingsley in House of Sand and Fog.
Sand and Fog. Oh yeah.
He loves his cultures.
Yeah. And I'm just like, also, this is not the story. It like glorifies certain things, and it's just, you know, and I think that's also something that we need to kind of have a reckoning with. Like, you can acknowledge that someone did wonderful things, but then also acknowledge that maybe in other aspects they weren't great, because, I mean, Gandhi was a racist. So I think we can acknowledge that and also acknowledge, like, other things, just like we can with other people. Because I feel like it's, people are like, ride or die, which I'm like, that's great if you're talking about like a friendship, sure. But if you're talking about like a thing in history or like how something's portrayed, I'm like, you can have an actual conversation about it. And yeah, you don't have to like everything, but you can be like, oh, okay, so they did these things, but then also these things. Like, let's please talk about how Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner, but they don't really talk about that. You know, I think they are now a little bit more, because I think I saw this interview where, like, a white man went there and they're like, they're trying to make it woke or something. And I'm like, they're just explaining what actually happened. Mm-hmm. That's not being woke. That's just being accurate.
That's giving you the whole story.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, so that's like another kind of like another thing that, you know, these histories tend to be very sugarcoated, or they tend to have this like kind of heroic narrative. But I'm like, yes, men were involved in making decisions, but is that what the story needs to be about? No.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear about the women. I want to hear about, like, my grandfather was a teenager, and then he sailed from Bombay to Karachi. Like, that's what I want to know. I want to know, like, what he was feeling, what he was thinking. Because even though they announced independence, they didn't, no one knew at the time where that boundary line was going to be until 2 days after. Wow. So it's like, well, okay, let's celebrate, but then wait, like, where do we actually go? You know? So that's the stories I want to hear, and I want other people to hear. I want people to hear like stories that have been erased from the narrative for so long. You know, something I say over and over is just like, the whims and personal agendas of men constantly got in the way of providing a good solution. And like, maybe there wasn't one, but I'm sure if a little bit more time went to it, it wouldn't be what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's a very beautiful way to put that, because you're right. It's you never get the whole story, and the things that are focused on are really hammered into this, like, I don't know. Like, there are things that are focused on that are, like, really hammered on, and, like, there's definitely a bias, but there are other things that are just, like, one sentence in a history textbook, right? Like, oh, and this happened. But you don't really deep dive into, like, the reality of what happened. So I think, I mean, I'm excited for people to fucking learn about stuff they might not know about. And if they do, they can learn details about, like, like, individual feelings and, like, the people that actually was affected. But yeah, thank you so much for doing the work and allowing us to reap the benefits and learn. Thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and you guys, Partition is out now. You can go listen to it. I think there's a few episodes out right now. Maybe like two or three. I can't remember exactly. This drops at the end of August, so there's definitely two or three episodes out. So go check it out.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for? Go learn a little something, something from Neha, who has worked really hard on this show.
Yeah. These are the ones that are important, you know, like, I don't know. Like some, it's just like people are so limited in their knowledge about things that don't directly affect them or just like the world. And I think like we need to, So it's, I'm excited for this show. I'm excited for your future shows. I'm excited to meet you. And I'm excited for everyone else to fall in love with you. Do you want to tell us where we can find you on the internet? Obviously, we'll tag you and all everything. But tell us where... Plug your shit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at Neha Aziz. I'm on Twitter at Neha Aziz 13. You can follow Partition on Twitter as 1947 Pod and as Partition Podcast on Instagram.
Perfect. Wow.
Crazy that 1947 Pod was even available. It's a problem.
God, the late 40s really fucked us all up, didn't they? But anyways, I'm going to stop there before I say anything else. I'm going to wrap us out of here. This is Ethnically Ambiguous, Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen, Shirohiro on Instagram, and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
Yeah, wait. So 1947 was Partition.
Nabka 1948.
1948.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it marked the end of the Holocaust, too, which is great. Like... But there's the other side of that coin, right? I don't know.
Did I say Nabka? I meant to say Nakba. Jesus, I'm losing my mind.
It's okay.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. And second half of the 40s, fucked up for the Middle East, South West.
I'm saying we really... We really... A lot of shit happened. Everything changed, I think, for so many people in the late 40s. And maybe we have to have another podcast to talk about that history. You know what I mean? Let's all do it. Meeting after this. Also, Anna, do you want to plug your shit?
Sure, yes. Sorry, I got distracted. I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter. I'm at Selling Hosnier on Instagram. Hope to see you there.
Bye. Listen to Partition.
Listen to Partition. Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.